It says that he that hears a matter and ponders it and studies it, that that's a wise person. That when somebody tells you something, that you begin to reflect on it, you begin to ruminate on it, you begin to internalize what you heard that other person say. And then to bring understanding to full terms, it means that you begin to feel what the other person feels.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2.
Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 22. And here the writer says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. And we've been talking about relationships, and last week we dealt with the issue of understanding in relationships. Understanding in relationship. Title of the message last week was Ain't Understanding Mellow. Ain't Understanding Mellow. And I see they're passing out the notes from last week, so if you need a copy, they'll make sure that you get one. Ain't Understanding Mellow. And we took the title from a song that was out in the late 60s, early 70s by a songwriter, singer by the name of Jerry Butler. And he sang a song about understanding, and he said that understanding is mellow. That means that understanding is it brings peace to the situation. Understanding brings harmony to a situation. Understanding brings health and life to a situation. And in Proverbs 16 and verse 22, it says that understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it. And if you are a person of understanding, you are a person that brings life. You are a person that brings health. People that don't understand other people, or don't even try to understand other people, you will find that there is confusion in those relationships. You will find that there is turmoil in those relationships. But when you work hard at understanding, you know what? You can function in any relationship at any level when you work at understanding. I like Stephen Covey's book that I shared with you last week, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And in this book, Stephen Covey lists seven habits of highly effective people. And one of the habits that he talks about, number five, the fifth habit was seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first. That if you will seek to understand those around you, that will go a long way. And then he says, seek to be understood. I shared last week, and it even became more real as I went through this past week events in my life, how that it's good to know that people are trying to understand you. And you can't be in any business at any level and not try to have some understanding. And when I was in the hospital, you know the main thing that needed to be done as the doctors and nurses came in day after day, what did they need to do? They needed to understand me. They needed to understand what was going on with my leg. They needed to know what was happening. Because if they're coming in, and they're coming in and saying, well, I think this is what we need to do, or we need to treat it this way, or we need to do this, or we need to do that, without asking me. And every time they came in, the first question they asked, how does it feel? They would press on it. How does that feel? They would look at it and say, what does this do? And then, you know, they would talk about you feeling nauseous or you feeling dizzy. What were they trying to do? They were trying to understand me. Why? Because once they understood me, then they could help me. And God calls us all to understanding. What is the meaning of understanding? What is the meaning of understanding? We have that in your notes for you. To understand means three things. And so as we review, just to get up to the speed as to, you know, where we were and where we're headed. What does it mean to understand? First of all, it means that you hear what the other person is saying. It means that you hear what they're saying. James 1:19 says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That if you are going to be an understanding individual, that if you are going to function in a healthy manner in relationships, that you've got to hear what other people are saying. And then according to Proverbs 15:28, you've got to reflect on what the other person is saying. It says that he that hears a matter and ponders it and studies it, that that's a wise person. That when somebody tells you something, that you begin to reflect on it, you begin to ruminate on it, you begin to internalize what you heard that other person say. And then to bring understanding to full terms, it means that you begin to feel what the other person feels. It means that you put yourself in the other person's shoes. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And so if we're going to understand, if we're going to be an understanding person, we've got to hear what the other person says, we got to reflect on what they said, and then we've got to empathize with what they said. We looked last week at some barriers to understanding. Why is it that people don't understand others? We said, number one, there's hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Some people just have a hard heart, and they just don't care. And so they're not even going to try to understand another person. Some people don't understand because they're afraid to hear what's inside the other person. Maybe the other person has something inside that's going to be a reflection against them, and they don't want to hear it, and so they're afraid to hear what's inside of the other person. Another thing may be defensiveness, that, you know, you are so busy being defensive and trying to figure out how are you going to defend whatever's inside the other person that you're not really hearing what they're saying because you're in defensive mode. And here, going along right with that, is the listening with the intent to reply, that some folk don't even listen. Yeah, they're already trying to get their game plan ready, how they're going to answer you. And so they've shut down and they refuse to listen. We talked last week about different perspectives and how we talked about the difference between men and women. I don't know if you could put that up there real quick, Brother Ted, that sometimes we have a hard time understanding. And I would encourage you, if you weren't here last week, go back and get that CD because I went into depth. I went into a lot of depth on this part last week, and so I'm not going to do it again, you know, other than to say that men and women are different. Now, I don't know if you remember, those of us who are children of the 70s, there was a song out by New Birth, and the name of that song was, I Got to Understand You, and You Got to Understand Me. And sometimes that's the problem between men and women. You know, they just don't understand that they're coming from completely different perspectives. And so if you don't understand that, it can be a barrier to understanding. And so once again, I would encourage you, go get that CD because we went into a lot of depth in just talking about this this chart last week. And then we talked about unwillingness to be touched and influenced by others, and then a failure to listen empathetically. And what that means is, once again, that you are not putting yourself into the other person's shoes. Anytime that you listen, that you have to put yourself into that other person's shoes. And then we said that there were levels of listening, according to Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. First of all, there is ignoring, and that is not listening at all. And so some of you have been victims of that, or perpetrators of ignoring the other person and really not even listening to what they had to say. We said that there's pretending, and that's acting like you're listening. But your mind and your heart is somewhere else. We said that there's selective listening, and that is that you key in on certain things that you want to hear and filter the rest of it out, and you don't even listen. And then we said there's attentive listening, and that means that you have all your energies there. That means you're listening with your mind. You're listening tuned in. But it still falls short of empathetic listening, because empathetic listening is where not only you hear what the other person said, but now you have put yourself into their shoes. Somebody said that you shouldn't criticize another person until you walk the mile in their shoes. And so I want us all you know, even the stop at this point and ask ourselves, you know, as people in relationships, where do we find ourselves on that contingent right there? You know, are we ignoring? Are we pretending? Are we selective listeners? Are we attentive listeners? Or are we empathetic listeners? And if we find ourselves, you know, in the first two or in the first three, then we really need to work on our listening skills. Then we said, where are places that people need to understand? We said in marriage, people need to understand. In the family, people need to understand. And then in every relationship, people need to try to understand each other. Which brings us to our point today, and like I said, we're not going to be very long. What are characteristics of people with understanding? People that listen with understanding, what are three characteristics of people that try to understand other people? What are three characteristics of people who put themselves into the shoes of another person to really try to feel what it is that's going on inside of them? Number one, they have a genuine concern for others. They have a genuine concern for others. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 2. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. And the scripture says here, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. What this means is that a fool, and I hope I'm not speaking to anybody today, but a fool is more concerned, help me, Holy Ghost, about letting people know what's on their hearts and uncovering their feelings and spewing out their venom and their hatred than they are about what's going on in the heart of another person. And if we are to be God's people, and if we are to be people in relationships, let us not be like the fool. Let us not be so concerned. And you know what? I know that we live in a selfish world. You know, it's me, myself, and I. And we're concerned about self and self-preservation. And I understand that. But we need to understand that we can't be so overcome with our own personal ideas and opinions, and that, you know, our objective is to get out what we feel and pour it out on everybody else, and we don't take time to stop and try to understand what other people are dealing with and try to have a genuine concern for what's going on with other people. You know, there's one thing, and see, once again, it goes back to that whole empathetic thing. You know, just being in the hospital for, you know, 4 days, because I haven't been in the hospital since I've been here in Pittsburgh. I've been here almost 20 years and haven't been in the hospital in 20 years. And as I went, and you know, I go to the hospital every week to visit folk in the hospital. And you know, I go, and I think that a lot of times, to be honest with you, I might get to that level of attentive listening, and every now and then I might move into that empathetic listening. But having been in that hospital bed, having laid in that bed, having to deal with the issue and the frustration and the aggravation of going through dealing with sickness and illness in your body, I tell you what, I have a different appreciation for people who go in the hospital now. And I'm in the hospital all the time, but I've got a different appreciation. And sometimes, saints, you've got to try to put yourself into where that other person is. Try to feel what they're feeling. If somebody is frustrated around you, if somebody, you know, I was, you know, I had gone to a restaurant a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the person that was serving, I thought, was very unprofessional. I mean, you know, they were short. You know, I was asking questions. And it's almost like, you're working for a tip here, brother. You know, you need to at least, if you're going to take my money, at least be nice to me. And I was getting ready to say something. And I was thinking about the message that I was working on that week. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not trying to make excuse for how this person is serving today. But what's going on in this person's life? What is this person dealing with? You know, maybe they brought something that was so overwhelming, you know, they brought it to the job and they just can't seem to shake it. I know I woke up about 2 o'clock this morning and I went downstairs in my house and I was trying to pray. Man, I was trying to pray. I put on some praise and worship songs. I was trying to get in the spirit of praying. But you know what, saints? My mind just kept coming back to my leg. It just kept coming back to my leg. And I would put the thought out of my mind, and I would praise God for a little bit, and I tried to do Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all his and his righteousness, all these things will be added over to you. I gave it over to the Lord. I tried to let him work it out, and then I would look down at my leg, and I'd take it back again. And so I'm thinking that, man, if me as a minister struggled that much in trying to keep giving over to God, how much are other people struggling with the issues that they have and the issues that they're going through? And so we need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes we need to try to feel what that other person is feeling. We need to try to have a genuine concern for what is going on. You know, I have a new appreciation for people that have chronic pain. You know, I don't know how in the world people deal with chronic pain. And, you know, if they're crabby and, you know, old grumpy, you know, I say, you know, okay, you know, let's try to turn this thing over to the Lord. Let's try to work this out. But, you know, I think I have a little bit more understanding for you. You know, we still need to try to get the victory. I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I'm not up here trying to say that we got a reason to be called Mr. Sourpuss, that we got a reason to look like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice. I'm not saying that. But at least people around us should be able to try to understand maybe some of the stuff that we're dealing with. So people that are people of understanding, that they have a genuine concern for others. Secondly, they are able to understand the heart of the other person. They are able to understand the heart of the other person. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 20. And you know what? For the longest time, I had the most difficult time trying to understand this verse. The most difficult time trying to understand this verse. And I studied it, and I studied it, and I researched it, and I finally, the Lord opened up my understanding to this verse right here. It says, Proverbs 20 and verse 5, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. What does that mean? It means that there are some people that are dealing with some deep issues. I mean, it's unbelievable the issues that some people are dealing with. And you know, you're sitting here today, and I don't know what's on your heart, but you might be sitting here today and you're tuning in and out to the message because there's some deep issue that you're wrestling with. There's some deep problem that you're struggling with. And Solomon says here that there are issues that are in the heart of individual, and it's like deep water. It's down in the bottom of your soul, and it's something that causes you turmoil. It's something that causes you grief. It's something that causes you anguish and agony, and it's like deep water in your soul. But Solomon says that if you get with somebody that understands, they can draw it out. Whew. If you get with somebody that understands, if you get with somebody that's trying to understand you, all those deep-seated emotional levels, that they'll be able to bring it out. I was doing a study a couple weeks ago on the levels of relationships. And you know, there are 5 levels of relationships. There's, you know, and I can't remember all of them. I was going to teach on that, and I just never got to it. But, you know, one level is, you know, just casual relationship, like relationships with people that you have on your job. You know, another level might be relationships here in the congregation. You come to church, and you say, hey, yeah, that person is a member of Bethany, or I'm on this baseball team, and this person is on that baseball team. Then there are people that you are family with, that you gotta, you know, you're in relationship with them just because they're your biological family. Then there are people who are, you know, like in fellowship, people that you like to fellowship with, and those are the ones that you're in relationship with. And then it talks about a fifth level. And the fifth level was covenant relationship. And that is where you are in an intimate relationship with somebody else, whether it's a wife and a husband, whether it's two ladies that, you know, are, you know, just best of friends, like, or two men that are best of friends, like Jonathan and David. That's covenant relationship. And it says that when you're in those covenant relationships like that, when you got somebody that sticks with you, when you got somebody that, you know, got your back, that's there to the end, that that individual, that as you get with them, that they ought to be able to, they might not be able to counsel you. They might not be able to give you the 3 points that help you overcome your situation. But sometimes all you need is just for somebody to understand you. And that person that you are in that covenant relationship with is an individual that you can communicate with and that they can draw out those deep issues of your heart. They can draw out the deep problems of your heart. Like I said, whether that's in a marriage, you know, I thank God for my wife because I share with her those deep, intimate things that are inside of me that I thank God. And everybody ought to have another person that you're in a covenant relationship with. Even if you're married, if God has put somebody in your life that you can have a covenant relationship with that can draw out the deep issues that are on your heart. Because sometimes if those issues just sit there, man, you'll go crazy. Your head will blow off. Sometimes you just got to be able to go and you got to share it with somebody. There's a song that was written by James Taylor. And in the song, he said, I needed the shelter of someone's arms, and there you were. Watch this. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs, and there you were. With sweet love and devotion. Listen to this. Deeply touching my emotion. I want to stop. And thank you, baby. I just want to stop. And thank you, baby. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Why was it so sweet to be loved? Listen to it. Because there was someone who understood my... There was someone who understood my ups and downs. There was someone who had love and devotion, and they deeply touched my emotion. And I want to stop. What is that? That's Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. What was this chick doing in his life? She was drawing it out, man. She was bringing it out. He had it bottled in, but she understood his emotion. She understood his ups and downs, and he was able to let it go and let it out. Why? Because he had a person that was trying to understand it. Trying to understand it. Number 3, characteristics of people with understanding. They reflect seriously upon the words of the other person. Proverbs 17.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.